Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
With the Bears making only a minor move at the trade deadline, dealing Khalil Herbert to the Bengals as seventh rounder comes back to Chicago, were you expecting more? Will anyone miss Herbert?
I think I was expecting more in terms of other position needs being addressed. I would have liked to have seen even a veteran depth piece on the offensive line. I know those are hard to find. It might be unrealistic. I am curious if, for example, Ryan Poles ever picked up the phone to get Jerry Jones, if Jerry Jones would answer the phone between interviews he's granting all day long down in Dallas, or whoever's taking those phone calls talking trade. I know Jerry Jones does a lot of talking. I don't know how much of it is involved with actual trade conversation. But Zach Martin's 33 years old. He's a guard, and he would help the Chicago Bears. And the Cowboys are, you talk about a team unraveling. They have a very long spool of thread to unravel, and they're going nowhere. So I wondered about that. They didn't do that, and they didn't do anything. I don't really count this as a move. Nate Davis, still a Bear, couldn't find a taker, still paying his salary, still having that baggage. I wonder where that's going. He's still in the locker room. But Khalil Herbert would have gotten cut, likely. They would have released him, I would think, to give him some sort of option to land elsewhere. I don't know how much they valued him as insurance, because Travis Homer was there, and you have to go now to your fourth running back. You're not that worried about it. To me, this season, he became just a guy. He became just a guy because this regime doesn't value him as much as the Pace regime that drafted him did. And I think that you look at 1,791 yards, 4.8 yards per carry. He was solid, but hardly spectacular. Not sure you're going to miss him. And he's getting a lot of attention today because the Bears did no other moves. So I wanted them to do more, and I was fine with them getting rid of him to the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, he deserved to be moved, right? He was not just sitting there rotting on the bench. So you can't You can't be upset about that. But, you know, yesterday was the trade deadline. But you could have made a trade before we got to this point, Ryan Poles. Did yesterday's inactivity signal potentially, I'm done with this group. I'm done with this head coach. I'm done with this offensive coordinator. I'm not going to give away any more draft capital to try to help this group out. I, Ryan Poles, am now squarely focused on the 2025 season, the 2025 draft. I'm not going to let any capital get out the door to try to help this group that I no longer want to work with. Or was it just the fact that all the other halfway decent offensive linemen that got moved before he could get involved?
That would be a pretty quick pivot from I believe in these guys to I hate this team.
But could it have happened with the Fail Mary? Like, was that when he made the decision for sure that, and the other thing, David, is that this division has been so good all year long, and he realized I can't catch them. I can't take the North this year and never give it back. So I am best case a third place team in this division. So I'm not giving any more draft capital away. I've already texted Trace Armstrong and said, you know, shame on you for tricking me about Shane Waldron. Okay, shame on you, and you and I will not be doing business again. I might even be looking for a new agent.
Wow, that's taking a leap. Real quick before we get to Brandon, I doubt that that's the case, only because if you are going to abandon hope and move on from this season, you are risking sacrificing the development in the second half of Caleb Williams, which this season is all about. So you need offensive line depth to help protect him so he can ascend. And if you abandon that, I think that you are negligent at your job.
I agree with you, David. I expect a little bit more, maybe offensive line depth, like you want to protect your franchise quarterback. When it comes to Khalil Herbert, though, I mean, it's kind of the same way when Poles did for Fields. I was like, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to get you out of here. I mean, you last year you was the number one running back, and now you're just you're not even the number three almost because, you know, Travis Homer. So I like this move for Khalil Herbert. I mean, you get a 7th-round pick. That's cool, whatever. But I expected a little bit more. Like I felt like he did. Poles took some calls for Nate Davis just to feel to see if anybody wanted him. Like, because, I mean, he's just another person who's just sitting there. I know he's not on the best of terms with the coaching staff right now. But with this offensive line the way it is, I mean, either he has to play or do something for him. But I just expected maybe a little bit more on the offensive line. I think you said it yesterday, David, that maybe thinking of fielding calls for Keenan Allen. He's on a 1-year deal. See what you can do for him or something like that. But I feel like that Commanders game and that Cardinals game kind of sealed the deal where people wasn't expecting much from the trade deadline from the Bears.
That's one of those questions. You know how hard that is to answer.
That's the voice of Dan Weider. He'll be here answering questions at 7:25. Caleb Williams has thrown 41 screen passes, tied for the third most in the NFL, but his 78% completion on those screens is the second worst in the league. How do you explain that?
This is something I thought was worthy of further exploration. We addressed it briefly on the Big Pro Football Show on the Chicago Sports Network last night. And good research by our producer Casey there. And I think that I don't understand it at all, except for these are short passes that they like a lot. 41 screen passes. There's only two other teams that have thrown more than the Bears. Yet they're pretty inaccurate. They have the second worst completion percentage. Is that accuracy? Maybe. Is that poor design? Definitely. Screen passes are about timing, practice, and finding the rhythm of a good screen pass. Getting your back and your quarterback and your lineman in sync. Now, I don't know how many of those are passes that were just sidearm throws to DJ Moore at the line of scrimmage, and that counts because those haven't been great plays either. None of the screen passes that Shane Waldron has called or designed seem to be things that you remember. Can you remember a screen pass that worked? Well, yeah, maybe. DeAndre Swift had one. I think that he went for over 50 yards. That's an explosive play. I'm not sure if that was great design or just DeAndre Swift being good in space. But I want to keep an eye on this. This is one of the more confounding, confusing stats that seem incongruous, and I just don't know why it's happening. It could be all on the quarterback. I doubt it. It could be all on the offensive coordinator. Probably not all of it. but a lot of it. Just something to keep an eye on. The Bears are not a good screen pass team, and a lot of it comes from practice, precision, and timing, and they have none of those.
They don't have any of those, David. It's a great point. I would love to see like a cut-up of all 41 to really be able to answer this question properly. Now, these are, according to the people putting these stats together, these are known screen passes, or are these checkdowns? You know, that also, I think, needs to be part of
design screens.
Design screens. So that's a lot of design screens. You know, obviously the completion percentage should be higher, but you know, did Caleb bounce the ball to these guys? Did he throw it low? Did he throw it high? How many of these passes were dropped? How many passes? These are things that we just don't know. But I did hear a stat yesterday about how Caleb Williams leads the league in overthrowing balls as well. That's another stat that's not, you know, going his way. That's not a good one. But again, I think all of this, both of those stats could also go back to our first question, and that is, in my answer to yesterday's question, until this offensive line is at least like average, you know, until we get 3 weeks in a row where the same five guys are playing together,
right?
It's really hard to judge what's going on up there.
I'm with you guys. Like, it's to me like a timing, holding the ball, the screen pass stuff. I mean, the play, the screen pass to DJ Moore, blow that up. Get rid of it. I hate seeing that play. And I feel like the only screen pass that worked that I can remember so far this whole season would, like you said, David, the one to Swift. And then I think the preseason game, too, the one to Swift as well. So I don't like it at all. I think it's all more on poor design, and I think, and I'm sorry, I'm going to have to, I don't want to keep attacking the offensive coordinator, but Shane Waldron, I'm sorry, it goes to him. It makes me want to go back and look at some of even the Seahawks, like, offensive plays last year and
it
see.
Does.
I don't remember none of those screen pass. I'm thinking of just highlights of Seahawks last year. All I remember is, like, big plays to DJ Metcalf and Lockett. I don't remember no screen pass working like that or even to set them up like that. So I don't like it. It don't work right with this team. It just don't work right with the personnel that they have outside of maybe Swift. I think it's just a big problem on the poor design of just Shane Waldron. I think it lies more on him, and I think it lies more on the bad offensive line that Dustin was saying too. It's just a combination of all those things.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Yeah, it's a good question.
After our talk with Will Venable yesterday, how much better do you feel about what qualifies as success next year and what else stood out about the conversation?
Will Venable came across as somebody who's got a lot of charisma, more than I was told he might have or possess. The book on Will Venable was that he's an easy guy to work with, consummate pro, smart, bright, and can express himself well, good communicator, collaborator, all of those things. But maybe there would be a part of him that wasn't going to be so comfortable in the spotlight, being the spokesperson for a team twice a day for 162 games a year. I didn't see that. I didn't sense that. I felt like there was a willing participant in a really engaging conversation, a guy who was as comfortable talking about his basketball background and his mom's idea to try out for baseball as he was debating the value of a manager in today's modern MLB. Will Venable is going to make the White Sox better, I think, ultimately, because he already makes the White Sox smarter. And they need that. You can see him working and growing in step with Chris Getz. this does feel like and sound like a partner for the GM. I don't know about the definition of success. I don't think that he was specific. I don't think he needed to be. I am not caught up on year one victory totals. It's a pipe dream for them to be anywhere. If they win more than 62 games, I think people are going to be celebrating that. Look at that improvement. Because if they win more than 62 games, it means they won't lose 100. I think they're going to lose 100. But I don't think that's going to discourage Will Venable, because at some point in time, the definition of success will be you know it when you see it. And this will be a team that plays with characteristics of a smart baseball team because they're managed by a smart guy. And they're going to do the little things right, ideally. Let's hope that's the case. It certainly seems like we can expect that based on the first impression.
Real good first impression. Enjoyed that interview. The other thing, I think he's going to be very relatable with the players. He's a good athlete. He's good a guy that played a high level of college basketball. He's a guy, obviously, that had a long career in baseball. And I think that helps. I think when he speaks it to the player has to respect who is saying it, and they can see themselves in that person delivering the message. And I think that can go quite far.
I'm a Sox fan, and I'm actually, unfortunately, right. But I actually like this move. I was kind of shocked by this hire, too. Like, especially the fact that he turned down previous jobs, respectable ones, like with the Mets is one of them last season. I love this move, and I think this is one of the best kind of stories that I heard hiring Will since the campfire milkshake. Like, I'm being honest, like, this, I love this move. I love the way he talked. Everything was good about him. The thing with him is how much can a manager really impact winning? And it's not about even winning, probably development too with this team. And I'm really more intrigued to see how they would do with the development more than the actual wins, because this still is a bad team. So now you got to look at pretty much their farm system to see what can he do and what impact can he do. I'm interested in seeing his coaching staff. I like the question about David Ross to see if he would join the staff. I really am intrigued overall with this move, because I'm actually shocked that they actually got this. I know he's a first-time hire, but still, he's respected around the league. I love his pedigree overall. I think this is actually a good move by the White Sox, and they needed this.
Dustin, what about the Rossi thing?
I think that's incredibly interesting. I said to Mitch, actually, yesterday, we were talking about it, and I think David Ross needs to get back into baseball.
I agree.
I don't think he can sit out again. I get it. He's been playing the game for a long time. He's been away from his kids for a long time, and he probably needed to recharge the batteries. But at the very least, he needs to get back on the four-letter network or a three-letter network and be a broadcaster, right?
But do you think that the Sox would energize him or discourage him? Because I think they're going to lose a lot of games, but I feel like he turned down the Yankees bench coach offering a year ago from Aaron Boone.
He probably interviewed for the Reds job, right? Do we know that he did for sure?
His name was linked, and he said he talked to them. The report was that he talked to them. Okay. I don't know how formal it was.
Okay, but then you understand Terry Francona.
He was getting paid by the Cubs, though, to stay away.
Of course.
So this was a paid vacation, essentially. But if he wants to get back to the grind, I think he comes back to the Sox as a bench coach with a guy that he knows well. He's going to be respected. His value is going to be obvious in a market that appreciates him. It wouldn't shock me if he wants to get back, if that makes sense to the Sox too. He gives you credibility.
Could do a whole lot worse, right?
Wouldn't that be a demotion though? Like, just thinking the mindset of David Ross. I led a team, you know. I was a part of the Cubs, and I did this with the Cubs, and now I'm with the team that's coming off 200 loss seasons, and now I'm the bench coach for that team in the same city that I used to be a manager. On the north side.
I think that's a part of it, but I also believe that there are no other managerial openings this offseason, and if he wants to get back into it, get his name out there, he could do worse than going back to a city where he is appreciated and his stature is going to be, and reputation, celebrated more than questioned.
Well, there's no question.
Patrick Kane and the Red Wings play tonight at the United Center against our Blackhawks. Is there any doubt Kaner gets a rousing reception? If the Hawks stay competitive, would you want them to pursue bringing him back to Chicago before the deadline?
Well, there's no doubt that he's going to get, I think, a rousing, standing O, whatever, to make him feel appreciated. He should. He's done nothing to alienate the fan base. He's done nothing but move on. He was traded. He went to New York and then Detroit. And you look at what he's doing this year. He's still a productive player. He's played in 11 games. He's got 8 points. This is not somebody that is just hanging on for dear life. He can be an asset. And when he gets going, he's 35 years old. He turns 36 later this month. I don't know if the Red Wings, they've got a lot of depth. They want to go for it this year. They want to make the playoffs. They might be able to do that. They might also, if they're out of it, they might look to flip Kane at the deadline. I love the idea because I love the idea. But I don't think Kyle Davidson loves the idea. And I think Kyle Davidson has made pretty clear that this leadership group will create its own identity and it will be organic. And Connor Bedard doesn't need a guy like Patrick Kane, you know, hovering and casting a shadow over everything else that Bedard might be doing. So I don't think it's realistic. I will continue to hope for it, and I will be curious to see how Kaner plays tonight.
I want to go back to what you just said, David, because I agree a lot, and you know a lot about this. So it doesn't matter what I think about this. Kaner, you should cheer him. You know, I know I'm always the you should. If you, there would be no reason not to cheer him. I can't think of a reason not to cheer him, not to stand up, not to salute him. I'm not sure they'll do another video tribute or anything like that, but no reason to boo or not respect him. But why do you think the general manager, and it wasn't even a hesitation. I mean,
I know.
There's no shot that they're trading for him unless, you know, management says we need to sell more tickets or some sponsor is going to come in a la what happened with the Bulls a few years ago with Dwayne Wade. Like, okay, we got this massive sponsor. If we put Kaner back on the ice and put the sweater back on this guy, it's going to be an influx of cash over here on the west side of town. I mean, I don't get it. Why the Heisman to Patrick Kane?
The quest to move on. I think a new era. And maintain everything about that commitment.
He's going to get, you know, he's going to get cheered. He should. I don't want to see Kane come back to the only time I want to see Kane come back to as a Blackhawk, if like towards the end of his career, like one of those one day contracts, I'm going to retire as a Blackhawk. I stay with that too. I don't think Davidson wants Kane back. I think it's time for a new regime. We have Connor Bedard. Those days are now over. Those are great years with the Blackhawks during the time that they were winning. But Kane coming back, I don't need to see that. Even if they're competitive, I don't think Kane's really the answer. I would like to get someone else, maybe even someone a little bit younger to pair up with Connor Bedard or someone a little bit younger to help with the scoring. Because right now, looking at this team, I feel like the only problem with the Blackhawks is, you know, they got some good pieces, but they need that Kane and Taves type of feel where you got Connor Bedard. He needs that other pairing. He needs that Pippen with him overall, I feel, for this Blackhawks team, because that's why I feel like he's haven't been scoring overall, and he's helping out because they're all focused and lasered in on Connor Bedard, and the other ones got to get theirs. But they need another star, and I don't think Kane's really that person.
Why is your heart so cold?
That's a really loaded question for me, David.
That's the voice of Stacey Dale. She'll be here talking Bears, talking NFC North at 9 with David. With the Bulls now having lost 2 in a row, how big is tonight's contest against the Mavs down in Big D? What's the key, and do you think Zach LaVine ends up playing, or is it wise for everyone that he just waits until he's 100%?
Zach's suffering from an adductor strain. He's on the trip. We saw the social media photos. He made the team flight. I hope he plays. Mavs, tough challenge. I don't think they win tonight. I think the Bulls are in the midst of a little bit of a losing streak. Nobody seems to be that concerned about it. Maybe because they're not that concerned about winning streaks. I want them to be. They're entertaining when they're hitting their threes. Vooch is hot. I don't think they're winning tonight. And I think Zach will try to play because he wants to play. Do they want him to play? I guess we'll all find out. But tough challenge for the Bulls tonight.
Well, unlike Joel Embiid, I think Zach LaVine wants to be out on the court. I question a lot of things about Zach LaVine. I do not question his toughness. I think if he's on the plane and with the team, that's probably a good sign if you're looking for an indicator. I would personally not play him. I know last week Casey Johnson reported that the Bulls had to protect Zach LaVine from himself, that he would have played in that game, but the Bulls were the ones who told him, no, that's okay, took the jersey and high tops away, and he sat that one out. They are a 10-point dog tonight, guys. 10 points, according to Circus Sports Illinois. But this is the kind of game that the Bulls would win. A sleepy game in November on the road, not everybody paying attention, coming off a day off. These are the, I would not invest on the Mavericks, let's put it that way, if we're interested in any of that. And again, I'm still not crystal clear. Bulls management tells us they want to win. I don't know if they really want to win if they were really hooked up to a lie detector test.
I hope Zach LaVine plays. I want him to play. They actually are better when he's on the court with this team overall. I'm kind of with Dustin too. You gotta protect yourself. Like you gotta protect yourself with Zach LaVine, because at the same time you don't want to hurt his trade value too. Him being injured does not help at all. And I don't want him to get re-injured, or now it's more damaging. He's out for a longer period of time, because I just think this is the transition period. This is where you got certain players on that team, to me, like Vooch and LaVine and, you know, Torrey Craig, you got Carter, like players that probably are like trade assets along the way. And I just feel like this is a game too. I do agree that 10 points, I would take that in a heartbeat, because I feel like this would be a team that they win. They're going to beat, you're going to be shocked. This is going to be a team that's going to beat good teams, because the good teams are not expecting or looking forward to playing the Bulls, and then they'll lose to bad teams or teams that you think they should beat, and that's normally what it is. But when it comes to Zach LaVine, I hope he plays, but I want him to be 100% and make sure that he's good. I don't want him to get like re-injured and playing hurt.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
What was your reaction to the college football top 12? Who's overrated? Who's underrated? Any sleepers you see emerging?
Well, I didn't necessarily see many surprises or maybe imposters, if you will. I know the certain parameters of the committee and the 12-team playoff format. BYU and Boise State are in there. If you're evaluating on tape, neither one of those two teams probably make it. But we're not really evaluating the top 12 on tape. These aren't the 12 best teams according to football coaches, and the eye in the sky doesn't lie. This isn't the case. They want that to be the case, but no, it's not. So I think it made clear to me you're not going to get a three-loss team from a major conference like the SEC in. Two-loss Alabama is the only two-loss team in right now. They have an elimination game Saturday against LSU. I'm okay with Oregon being number one. That will take care of itself. If they win the Big Ten, they deserve to be there. Indiana is very interesting to me. They are a team that you look at where they are in the top 12 and their unbeaten status. They've got to play Ohio State, and then maybe they have to play in the Big Ten championship game. Maybe. But I don't know. Are they going to be there if they have one loss? Perhaps. I love the possibility of the pairings. I love the bracket nature of this and all the potential matchups. CHSN had playoff rankings and they had a bracket that included Indiana and Notre Dame. Now, as a kid who grew up in Northwest Indiana, that would be a tremendous college football playoff matchup.
Indiana boy.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. I would love that. Other than that, I like the bracket. I like the 12 teams. Feels like they're on the right track.
Feels like they're on the right track. And rightly so, we are all talking about a elimination game this Saturday in the SEC between Alabama and LSU. But a team that I find to be a bit overrated, really, really good on defense, but I'm not sold on their quarterback one little bit. And that is the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah.
So Georgia is at Ole Miss. Ole Miss already has their two losses. They already have their two losses. Got a couple of decent wins. I don't know that Georgia, if Ole Miss can score and get this game into a shootout, per se, can keep up. So I think Georgia could be on upset alert, and a loss to Ole Miss could knock Georgia pretty far down and put Ole Miss into consideration. So I think you've got two elimination games here in the SEC this weekend. Now, the problem with Indiana, and David, I would love to see Notre Dame-Indiana. That's fun. Another one I saw, Notre Dame-Penn State. That would be fun. You know, an old school, two classics. That would be another fun opening matchup. But Indiana still has to play Ohio State. Now, if Indiana beats Ohio State, Indiana's in. But if Indiana loses to Ohio State, Indiana's out. So
even with one loss?
Even with one loss. I do think so. I think you would take a two, as an example, I think they would take a two loss Ole Miss team who beat number two Georgia over a one loss Indiana team that lost to the one team in the top 25, top 10 that they played.
I'm looking at this rankings. It looks pretty right. I like it. It's fair. There's nothing that really shocks me. You want to talk about overrated? I've been saying this for the longest every time I get a chance to talk on here. And I'm not just saying this to come at you, David or Dustin. I do not like Notre Dame. I like the players. I do not like
How
Notre Dame. They're the most overrated team. Their schedule is always
Dustin
soft. There's
Mike.
Only
Dustin
there's,
kills Mike.
I control the mic.
Okay.
But at the same time, they're just overrated to me. Now, Indiana, I do like Indiana. They're a feel-good story. So that's to get back on your good side, David. I do like Indiana. But overall, a team that you want to watch out for, Ole Miss. I'm going to be watching that Georgia-Ole Miss game. I really like the quarterback there for Ole Miss. So there's a team to watch out for.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.